All right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm really excited to be bringing the word this morning. I'm honored to be able to do this. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Jacob. I'm the student pastor here at Better Life. Say, oh, hey, 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 hey. And those are some students, extra points at youth. That's awesome. And if you don't know what I do, I love working with students. And really, I'm not really working with them. I'm just living life with them. And it's a lot of fun. And that's what I get to do each and every Wednesday. And that's part of what I do here. I get to work alongside our kids ministry team. And they're unbelievable. And can we just get up for our kids ministry team? Aren't they awesome? They're really good. No, seriously. Like, anybody, and I really mean this, anybody that can change a diaper and still like love God and love the kid, like that's awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like that's really good. And so we have an amazing kids ministry team, and I also get to work with the internship here as well. And I did this first service. I got to do it again because I see so many students in here, and GSP was last service. I really do believe, this isn't just a saying, like I really believe this from the bottom of my heart, that this students that we have here, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. And will you encourage them? Will you just give them a round of applause? Will you say, hey, you're awesome. I'm so glad you're here. And thank you so much for choosing to be stewards of the message of the gospel. That is awesome. And we need to encourage them and love them and cheer them on. And we call it a prosel. It's a praise and a prosel. And we just need to do that. And I saw students serving. We saw Taylor up here on stage. That's so awesome. So many students with their kids' shirts on. That's unbelievable. And what I came to do today is thinking about this series, mixtape series, getting to hear from different voices from the house. Been praying about this for some time. I'll be honest with you, really honest with you, I really wrestled with what I felt like God, no pun intended, you'll see here in just a moment, but I really wrestled with what I felt like God wanted me to preach. And so I kind of bounced around different areas that my wife, because you know wives know best, right? She came to me, she said, hey, I do this thing whenever I study the Bible. I didn't tell first service this, so you guys, you know, you guys are the rowdy service, by the way. I was hearing how you guys were worshiping. Like, come on. So I'm gonna give you guys a little bit more. I'm joking. I'm sorry, first service for watching online. But anyways, my wife, you know, she knows best, and she said, hey, I do this way of journaling where I just ask God to give me a word. I'll go to the back of the Bible, and I'll look up verses for that word, and I'll go to a verse. I was like, okay, I'll try, you know. So I was praying to God. I was like, God, what do you want me? What do you want me to preach about? What do you want me? Because I had like all these different ideas and stuff like that on the board. And this word kept coming back to me. And it was Israel. It was the word Israel. And so I went to the passage of Scripture where a man named Jacob's name got changed to Israel. It's an amazing story. It's honestly, it's really bizarre. Okay, you got to hang with me. Really bizarre story, but that's what God kept bringing it back to. And so this morning, what I would like to share with you is what God has been, he's been teaching me this, really honestly, way before I even began studying for this a couple weeks ago. And this is really cool. It's a season of life that I'm in. And so it's in me. And so hopefully if you would receive it this morning, it could be in you as well. And we're going to be reading in Genesis 32. Verses 22 through 32. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And if you will you stand up for the reading of God's word this morning? Everybody, we're going to stretch it out a little bit. Yeah, go ahead. Nobody stand up during worship. We're going to stand up. If you don't have your Bible or you don't have anything to take notes, it's going to be on the big Bibles around me. But it's Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. The title of today's message is called The God Wrestler All In. The God Wrestler All In. And if you're taking notes, go ahead and write that down. Also, the main point for the message today is this. It's only when you're all into God that he is all in you. I'm gonna say it again. It's only when you're all into God. Everybody say all. All. I love when you guys say it because it's almost like an all. Only when you're all into God that he is all in you. Also, before we get started, I really want to do this. Honestly, I'm going to give honor where honor is due. I would not be here if it wasn't for Pastor Daniel, for his love, his grace, his patience that he has given me and my wife and everything. So can we just give it for Pastor Daniel and his wife, Leanne, how awesome they are. This really is a miracle that we get to be a part of. So reading the scripture here, Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 through 32, it says this, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives. Hello. All right, we'll get to that later. Took his two wives. Yeah, the Bible says it, two wives. His two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. They wrestled all throughout the night. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, it was essentially broken, as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed them there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And what we learn here is that it was God that he actually wrestled. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So this is a really bizarre scripture. I'll give you that. That was the conversations I was having with God. "God, this is weird. You know, you wrestled a man." But let's get up to speed really quickly what we just read. So Jacob is getting ready to see his brother for the first time in 20 years. His brother's name is Esau. Everybody say Esau. Esau, kind of like seesaw without the first S. So he was meeting Esau, all right, for the first time in 20 years. Now, the last time that he saw Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. Now, I don't know if you got any brothers or sisters that want to kill you. Maybe you want to kill them, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know if you have any brothers or sisters that want to kill you. But that's the last time that he came in contact with his brother Esau. He's going to meet him. God has blessed him beyond measure. He's got two wives. Okay, that wasn't God ordained though. That wasn't God ordained. But he has two wives. He has this huge flock. He has riches beyond measure. He's extremely blessed. And then he finds out that his brother Esau and 400 men, basically an army, is going to come and kill him. So he does this military tactic plan. What he does is he takes one wife and one group of his people and all of his flock, or one half of his flock, and he takes them over to one side of the river. And then he gets his other wife and that side of the family and the rest of his riches and his flock and all that kind of stuff, and he puts it on the other side. And his thought process was, if Esau and his army comes, they're going to go after one and the other one can escape. So he's already planning, him and half of his family is probably going to die. And then God comes and wrestles him. This is just weird. This is just a bizarre story. But inside of this is a very profound meaning. I think a very deep truth. If we could just grab a hold of this morning, I think it could really bless our souls. And that's my prayer this morning, that that's what God would do. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you so much for how you've moved throughout the service, how you've touched our hearts, how you've blessed us, how you've reminded us how amazing it is to come to this church to worship you. And Lord, I ask over these next couple of moments, whatever's been going on this past week or maybe this morning or this past month or season of life that we're in, that for a moment, we could let the focus be not on that, but on your word. So that our hearts and our minds can be open to seeing your son, Jesus, because we know if we can see him, as we say all the time, we'll never be the same. It's in his name that we ask and we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. And thank you so much, Colin. Like I was saying, I literally was really wrestling with this passage, but I kept coming back to the name Israel. See, Jacob's name was changed by God. It was God he wrestled, by the way, to Israel. So I kept coming back to the story of this man named Jacob. And so I was reading through a story and there's a couple of things that stuck out. So initially my thought process was to preach about this, was Jacob had a daughter named Dinah. And Dinah, unfortunately, later in her life, while still being a pretty young girl, was sexually assaulted. She was sexually abused in a city called Shechem. But we see how God's grace worked, and out of that story, centuries later, in that very same town, at a place called Jacob's Well in John 4, we see Jesus meet a woman at the well who had been married 5 times before and divorced and is living with a man that she's not even married to. That's the 6th man, but meets a 7th man, Jesus. 7 in the Bible means perfect. And it was Jesus who told her everything about her life and told her about how there was a water that she could drink from and she would never be thirsty again. And she became the first female evangelist. Do you know this? And she went out and told everybody about this man named Jesus. And then because of her faith and because of what she did, a whole village comes to faith in Jesus. And I thought about talking about this story, how something so bad so long ago, God could still use it for something good. But I started wrestling with it even more, and that wasn't it. And then I came to Genesis 27. We'll get to this a little bit later, but basically Jacob, his whole life, wanted the birthright. Everybody say birthright. And he wanted the blessing. Everybody say blessing. He wanted the birthright and the blessing, and so he tricked Esau, and later on in his life, he tricked his dad, and we'll get into it in a moment by putting some fur, because Esau was hairy, and he was. It's really weird, but anyways, he put some fur on him, and basically in that day and age, you would know somebody's identity by grabbing their arm. Isaac also happened to be blind, and so whenever he was giving out the blessing, he actually gave it out to Jacob, because Jacob tricked Isaac and made his hair made his arm on his hair like super furry. We'll get to it in a moment. It'll make more sense. But anyways, basically, okay, Jacob's dad, Isaac, touched his arm, identified that it was Esau, even though it was really Jacob. And basically, we fast forward several centuries later, and not unlike this moment, whenever you have Isaac touching his son to identify him, we see almost the exact same sentence whenever Thomas, right after the resurrection, says, unless I touch Jesus' arm, unless I touch the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet, I will not believe that it's really him. And then you fast forward to Paul when he says that we are the body of God. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. And hopefully when the world sees us, they would identify us as belonging to Jesus. So I thought about going through that, and I was like, no, that's not it. I kept coming back to this story. I really wrestled with this, seriously, because this is such a bizarre story. But I believe God showed me some things through this. It's amazing because of the season of life I was in. And hopefully through this story today, I believe that you can receive a new revelation from God, and hopefully you can be strengthened in your faith and leave here with a brand new meaning to this story. So let's do a little bit of a backstory really quickly, okay? We have to go back to the very beginning, okay? You see, there's creation, and then after creation, there's the flood of Noah, and then God kind of splits everybody in the world, and then all of a sudden, God one day says, I want to make a people that one day the Messiah would come through. But I have to have someone to start this nation of people, this Hebrew nation. Who can it be? And he picks Abraham. So Abraham, remember the song we used to sing, Father Abraham had many sons, right? That's because Abraham was the father or the starter of the nation of Israel. It would be all of his descendants. That would be the nation of Israel. So Abraham gave birth to Isaac, and Isaac gave birth to twins, Esau and Jacob. See, Esau was actually the firstborn. And the firstborn in this day and age, they received the birthright, which means, hey, you're the firstborn. Also, you were heir to basically be the Lord over that family, which was the new nation of Israel, or the new nation of God's people. So basically Esau was in line to basically be the ruler, if you will, because they didn't have kings at this time, over that family and over this newly formed nation, all right? Jacob didn't like that idea. And it was actually prophesied before Jacob and Esau was even born. It was prophesied that Jacob, the secondborn, would actually be the ruler of the family. He would receive the birthright and the blessing. But Jacob didn't want to wait for it. He took matters into his own hands. And one day, whenever Esau was super, super, super hungry, all right, he goes up to Esau. He made some soup, some Campbell's chicken noodle. I don't know. He made some soup and he said, hey, Esau, you're pretty hungry, right? Oh man, I'm starving. I've been working out all day in the field. I'm hungry. Is that soup? Yeah, I got some soup here. Would you like some of the soup? Yes. And he goes to grab it. He said, no. First, give me the birthright. You can imagine like brothers fighting like this, right? Now give me the birthright. And you're like, no. I'll spill it all out. Give me the birthright. Okay, fine. I don't care about the stupid birthright anyway. Sure, you're the one that's born first. I don't care. Okay, great. Here's a bowl of soup. And Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. So then Jacob, he was now seen as the firstborn, but that wasn't enough. He also had to go after the blessing, which meant that the father of the child would then bless him and say, now I am no longer the head of this nation. I'm no longer the head of this household. Now you are. So he had to trick him though, because it was supposed to go to Esau. So what he did was he waited until Esau was out hunting one day. He was out in the field. And so he said, okay, all right, I got to look like Esau a little bit, but dad's mostly blind, right? You know, anybody have like a dad's blind? Anyway, he said, you know, dad's mostly blind, so he can't really see who I am. But Esau's super hairy, which by the way, if you're known as the hairy child, that's weird. But he's known as a hairy kid. And so, and so Jacob's like, I'm not hairy like my brother. So he went out and he got some fur. And he put some fur. This is my cat's toy, actually. It's not, anyways. And he got some fur, and he had the arms with the fur, not the boots. But anyways, yeah, some of the students get that. But boots with the fur. All right, anyways, and he put he put the fur on the arms. All right, and he. And he put the fur on his arm. And so the dad came to him and he ask your middle schooler later. They've been to the dance. But anyways, and what'd they do at the dance? Anyways, and so they, I'm not going to get through this. You got to stop. And he touches the arm and he says, oh my gosh, he is hairy just like Esau. This must be Esau. The voice sounds like Jacob, but the arm feels like Esau. He properly identifies him, right? So he says, this must be Esau, and he blesses him. And he says, now you'll be the heir to the kingdom. Essentially, you're the man of the house. You're in charge now. When Esau comes back, he gets furious. His brother deceived him for the birthright. His brother deceived him and his father for the blessing. He's going to kill Jacob. Jacob essentially goes away, and he goes after a wife. He sort of runs away, if you will. And he goes to this area where this guy lives named Laban. And he's supposed to marry one of Laban's daughters, all right? And then after he marries Laban's daughter, he's supposed to go back and be the head of the household and lead this newly formed nation of God. That's what God called him to do. So he goes to Laban, he sees his two daughters, and he wants to marry the youngest one. But Laban, I don't know how this works, y'all, but Laban tricks him, and he actually ends up marrying and sleeping with the oldest one. That I don't know. I don't know. You think you would have figured something out there, but he does. So then he's like, but that's not the one I wanted to marry. So then he stays for more years and works with Laban so that he can marry a second wife. This isn't God ordained. This isn't the plan, but he does this. So now he has two wives, and instead of going back where God called him, he stays there for 20 years. But then all of a sudden, he has a change of heart. He repents, if you will. He says, I'm going to go back and take my family back. I become rich beyond measure. I'm going to go back to the place that God called me after 20 years. And he heads back to go to the place that he calls me. And that's where we pick up with the story. And he finds out that Esau is there to meet him with 400 men and is going to kill him. He splits the family up in two. He prays all night, essentially, for the first time recorded in Jacob's life. He prays. And then God comes. And there's a wrestling match. So originally, going through this, I read this, and I said, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome because I guarantee, just like I have been in these seasons of my life, maybe there's people here and they are in a real wrestling match with their faith. Seriously, maybe something's going on, whether it's sickness or there's a sin that they don't know, or there's a weight, whether it's worry or it's a weight of anxiety or depression, or there's something going on. Maybe there's something in the marriage and they are wrestling with their faith and they're at their end, just like how Jacob was wrestling with God. And I was like, oh, I could just come up here and say, you know what? Just hold on. Just like Job says in 14:14, God, I will hold on. I will wait until you change my circumstances because you are God and I'm just a man. And so I thought, just hold on, right? If you're wrestling, if you're faith, if you're at your end, just hold on. And then I thought about the story in the gospel about how there was a demon-possessed boy. And the demon saw that Jesus was coming his way, and the demon grabbed hold of the boy and threw him down and tried to kill the boy before Jesus could heal him. And the boy held on, and then Jesus came and healed him. And I thought about preaching, you know, just hold on. Jesus is on his way. The reason why all hell is breaking out in your life is because Jesus is on his way, and the enemy wants to end you because he knows what you could do with Jesus. But as I was reading the story, and listen, that'll preach. I mean, I can get some music behind me, you know what I'm saying? We get the band going, and that will preach. But at the end of the day, when I started reading it, that's not really what the text says. That's not really how the story goes. In fact, there's a lot of tension here. Because if you read this story, if you look at what happens, Jacob is progressing in his faith in obedience. For the first time ever, Jacob's really doing everything right. And then God comes and wrestles him. Check this out. Look, early in Jacob's life, he deceived for his birthright. He deceived his dad to get the blessing. Okay, he marries two women. He wasn't supposed to do that. He doesn't go where God calls him to go. He runs from God essentially for 20 years. He kind of becomes rich too in a kind of not so godly way. And then all of a sudden he has a change of heart. He does. He has a change of heart. He goes, you know what? God's called me here. I'm going to go back. And he begins to go back. Then he finds out that Esau and an army of 400 people is going to kill him. And he decides, doesn't matter. God called me here. I'm going to go anyway. When was the last time you have done an act of faith and you thought someone was going to kill you and you said, God said to do it. I'm going to do it anyways. Like, this is audacious faith here. This is radical faith. And then he prays for the very first time ever recorded in Scripture. Before this, he didn't pray, as far as we know. But this is the first prayer that he really prayed. So listen to this. He's going where God called him to go, all right? He thinks he's going to die. He does it anyways because God called him to do it. He prays, and then God comes and wrestles him. If that's not enough, he thinks he's going to die. God says, come here, son. Just, you know, grabs a hold of him. Breaks his hip. Really quickly, though, we got to do a real quick praise break, okay? We're going to come back to that. Remember that moment. We're going to do a really quick praise break. I got to read you the prayer that he does. It's the only prayer that's recorded up to this point that Jacob ever prays. Look at this. This is Genesis 32, 10 through 11. This is what Jacob says. Lord, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I'm unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I have only my staff when I cross this river. But now I've become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I'm afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. Don't miss what he says here. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve any of this. But when I came by here 20 years ago, all I had in my hand was a staff. And now, God, when I come back 20 years later, look at all the amazing ways you have blessed me. You know what Jacob's doing here? Jacob is preaching to himself. And sometimes we just got to preach to ourselves sometimes. This is an awesome mini message right here. He's reminding himself, 20 years ago, all I had was a staff. But now, look at all the amazing stuff you have blessed me with, Lord. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. Lord, when I first got saved and they said that to me, man, I would have said something back. But now, I don't respond the way that I used to. Listen, oh man, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, 1 month ago, when she would have passed down in the hallway at work, I would have said some things and looked at, I don't do that now. God has changed me. Listen, back in the day, we didn't have hardly any money to put on the table, but we trusted God with our money. And now, listen, we're not rich, but let me tell you, he has blessed us. Or look at the church. 10 years ago, there was just a handful of families. Just a handful of families that believe God could do something great. But now, right, Pastor Daniel, look at all the amazing things God, sometimes we got to preach to ourselves. Sometimes we just got to say, God, back then I would have done this. I would have ended up there. I would have thought this. But now look at where you have brought me. That's what Jacob's doing. Now let's go back to it. Enough of the praise prayer. Let's go back to it. He's following God for the first time in 20 years. He thinks he's going to die, but he does it anyways. He begins to pray to God, and then God comes and wrestles him, breaks his hip. Now, that's not something that you really want to preach, right? That's like, all right, guys, we're going to follow this God that whenever you start doing everything he wants, he comes and breaks your hip. Can we do that in the kids' ministry? Can we make this like a really fun, like, all right, God broke my hip. You're right. This is not. Where's the God of grace? The God of mercy, the God of kindness, not the God of wrestling, not the God of physical harm. I mean, this is terrifying. This is how I was, wrestling with this text. But no doubt, I think there may be some of us in this room that have that view of God. God, I've been doing everything right. I've been doing this all along, but look at the health of them. Look what's happening with the marriage. Look what's happening with the finances. Look what's happening with this. What in the world is going on? But see, there's a huge, amazing point to this story that if you're not careful, you'll miss. You have to keep on reading. You see, for the first time in his entire life, after the wrestling match with God, Jacob says something that he's never said before. He's never said this before. It's in the very next chapter. God delivers him from Esau. They hug. They love it. They love on each other. Esau's not mad. Esau forgives him. God provides a way in that. And then Jacob goes and he does something he's never done before. Check this out. This is in Genesis chapter 33. It's going to be on the screen. Let's go ahead and put that verse up. Genesis chapter 33. No, don't got it. Genesis 33, verse 20. There he set up an altar and he called it El Elohi Israel. Now, if you're reading in your Bible right now and you have that around you, that word is not translated. That phrase, El Elohi Israel. The reason why is because it's a little fuzzy, but we definitely know that it means this. For the first time, Jacob sat on an altar and he praised God and he said, I dedicate this to the God of Israel. I dedicate this to the God of me. See, before, every time that Jacob would address God, he would always say that God was the God of his fathers. God was the God of Isaac. God was the God of Abraham. But he never once said that God was the God of him. Not one time in Scripture. You see in Genesis 29 where he says, God, if you'll bless me, if you'll do these things for me, then you'll be my God. But he never actually says it. Not one time. You see, Jacob was not all in. Israel, after God humbled him and rested him, Israel was all in. He gave it all to God. But before Jacob, Jacob was not all in. It was not his God. He went about life his own way. So this begs the question. This is big self-evaluation. Am I more like Jacob right now? Or am I more like Israel? In other words, have I been cutting corners with God? Is there areas in my life that I'm not all in, that God doesn't have it all? Is there something in my life that I haven't fully dedicated towards him? Or am I like Israel where, no, I'm all in. I've given it all towards him. This is big self-evaluation. I mean, this is big time. Because when you look at it, Jacob did stuff his own way. He took the blessing, the birthright, all of those things. He did it all in his own way. He went about it his own way, getting on his time when he wanted it, how he wanted it. He did not do it on God's time or on God's dime. He went about it his own way, and God had to come and wrestle him. God had to come and humble him in loving kindness and let him know, listen, if you keep going down this route, you're going to be in trouble. You've been trying to get everything on your own. It's about time you come to me and do this my way. And I think this is time for self-evaluation. Because you know what it means to be all in? Check this out if you're a student here. You know what it means to be all in? It means doing the right thing even when it's difficult. It means doing the right thing even when it's difficult. It means you go to church even when it's in the middle of the sports season. I'm going to say it again. I said it like 5 times in the last service. Hey, you go to church even when, oh, but we can watch it online and we can get it up. But you go to church with God, because where 3 or more gather, he will be there, because there's something about being around God's people and worshiping God together that changes your heart. It doesn't have to make sense to make a difference. That's why it's called faith. But you go to church, even in the middle of the sports season, because if not, that lets your kid know that sports is God and God is God, not in the sports season. That's why you can say the F word and everything else on the court, because it's okay, because it's sports, because it's healthy competition. But then at Sunday, it's like, oh, I love Jesus. That, you know. No, he's God all the time, or he's not the God at all. The reason why, you know why I hit sports so much? Because I see it all the time. This is one of the, there's 2 things that will ruin a student. Thinking sports is everything and thinking the person they're dating is everything. Those are the 2 things. That's it. It'll get them out of church. And when you get them away from God's people, that's the first step away from God. And I hammer this because I'm telling you, I see it happen. Sports season comes. Oh, we'll see him in 6 months. Where are they at 6 months? Getting drunk at the party. Just because it's hard, it's difficult, doesn't mean that it's wrong. Sometimes it's right. You go to church even in the middle of sports season. I got a lot more. I'm coming. You give to God first, even when the money's tight. That's what it means to be all in. You give your time to serve even when you're tired and barely have time for yourself. You open up your Bible. I'm preaching to myself here. You open up your Bible and read God's word and pray even when you don't have time to watch TV or Netflix or play a video game. I'm talking to you Fortnite players. I love it too. I just started watching Friday Night Lights. I know I'm late to the game. It's awesome. I'm obsessed. Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. But here's a litmus test. Here's a really quick litmus test, all right? And I'm just talking to dads and students. Moms are off the hook. And if I could be so bold here to talk to you dads, listen, I'm not a dad. I don't know what it takes to be a dad. I'm just speaking from as a student pastor, pastoring your students, okay? But here's something here's a litmus test. Here's a way of testing to know if you are all in. Here it is. If your kids that are in your house right now are not all in, chances are you probably aren't either. Because what I found out is the dad, most of the time, the parents in the household, they are not the thermometer, they're the thermostat. In other words, they don't just tell the temperature of the house, they set it. And what happens in your house, you either accidentally allow or you intentionally create. And that is a huge litmus test to see, am I all in? Am I all in? Is there something in my life that I have not given to God? Students, this is you. Here's a good litmus test. If you have more excuses of why you can't go to church than you do times you're at church, you're probably not all in. If you can't listen to worship music because it's too cheesy, this used to be me, you're probably not all in, because there's this thing in there called pride, because it's more about the style of the music than it is about the Savior you're worshiping. If you can't identify yourself as a Christian at school, even if it's not the cool thing to do, oh, but the popular kids don't go to church. Yeah, but it's not popular kids that get to heaven. It's saved kids. I'd rather my kid be a little weird and saved than really popular and going to hell. Listen, I'm not about the popularity. I'm about their soul. If you can't show up after practice because you're smelly or tired or whatever, you're probably not all in. You have to want it. You have to want it and say, listen, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know that it's not always going to be easy. Listen, this is Better Life Church, not Easy Life Church. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it will be better if you follow him. You have to be all in. It's in the video. Either he's the God of all or he's not the Lord at all. Man, why is he yelling? I'm just so passionate about this because, listen, this has been my life. There's been areas in my life. There's been cobwebs in the closet that I just looked over that I didn't give to God, and they bit me in the butt in the end. And I'm tired of seeing students walk away because they're not all in. Jacob wasn't all in. And it took a loving act of God coming and getting in his face and grabbing him by the face mask and saying, listen, you've done life your own way. You went about the birthright on your own. You went about the blessing on your own. You went about running away from me on your own. Listen. And then he dislocates his hip. And basically what he's saying here is, it's better for you to be physically weak than spiritually feeble. I would rather you be physically weak and have a strong faith than be physically strong and have a weak faith. So he humbles him down and he gets him down and says, listen, it's better for you to be humbled in this moment than to live your whole life without me. It was prophesied before you were even born. Why didn't you trust me? You were the heir. You were the one getting the birthright. You were the one getting the blessing, but it was on my time. Why did you go about it on your own? And he humbles him and he breaks him down. And that was the day that Jacob, Israel, became all in. You saw it in scripture. Before, he never called God his God. It was always the God of his father. It was always the God of his grandfather. It was never his God. But for the first time, he came all in. And he realized that it was his God too. And we go on to see that he begins to lead a nation and he changes a nation. I want you to know right now, it doesn't just have to be sin in your life that holds you back from being all in. There's this verse in the Bible that says to let go of every weight or sin that so easily entangles us. Listen, it says weight or sin. Everybody say weight. Everybody say sin. Listen, it doesn't have to be a sin to hold you back. Sometimes it's a good thing, but it's not a God thing. And you got to let it go and confess it to God. Listen, sometimes it's a sin like gossip. Or sometimes it's just a weight like drama. Sometimes it's a sin like pornography that you need to confess to God, but sometimes it's a weight like popularity, the struggle to be noticed, the struggle to be wanted. It's not necessarily a sin, but it's a weight. God, I've striven after this. I've strived for this my whole life. I'm going to give it to you. Sometimes it's a sin like sexual sin, but sometimes it's a weight like dating. Dating your way on your terms. I know he's not saved, but he's sexy. Well, I hate to tell you, but you're not on a missionary trip to Adam. God sent you, but I like to, that's it. Boots with the, no, okay. Seriously though, that's so true. That is so true. Sometimes it's not a sin, sometimes it's a weight. You have to let it go because it's keeping you back from being all in. And there's this amazing, the students, they'll know this because I've shared this numerous times, but I love this passage of scripture I'm about ready to read. I feel like this is an amazing illustration of what it means to be all in. And listen, guys, I know we're up here and we're kind of joking and sometimes it's really serious, but this is what God is teaching me too. And this is really serious stuff, and that's the reason why I'm coming across with so much passion. This is what God is teaching me too. But there's this amazing piece of scripture. It's found in Exodus chapter 21. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and go there. I want you to circle this, highlight this, all right? Bookmark this piece of scripture. Come back to this. This is so big. This is Exodus chapter 21, verses 2 through 6. And we're going to come to a close here. I think this is a really amazing illustration of what it means to be all in. Just like the last passage, though, it's going to start weird, but it's going to end great, okay? All right? So you got to get there with me. But this is the law. This is the law on how to keep a servant, okay, or a slave, all right? Just bear with me. But check this out. This is what it says here. If you buy a Hebrew servant, I don't think anybody's doing that right now. But if you buy, hang on with me. We're going to get to the application. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, remember seven means perfect completion. On the seventh day, God rested because it was, right? But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If you have a servant 6 years, in the seventh year, he should go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he's to go free alone. But if he has a wife, when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. Now, but if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost, and he shall put an awl to his ear. And he'll pierce his ear with an awl. Then he'll be a servant for life. So this is what would happen. If you were a servant, at the end of the 6 years, you said, man, I love my master. He provides for my family. He cares for me. He loves me. All the blessings he's given me. I want to serve him for the rest of my life, him and my family. I want to be underneath his house. I want to be underneath his roof. I want to be underneath his rules. I want to be in complete obedience to him and my family. Then the master would go before a judge and he would take you to a doorpost and he would take an awl. He would put the awl right next to the ear. Anybody want to do this? No? No? This is where the original gauges came from, right? Super cool back then. Super cool. They would do this. They would pierce his ear. And then, from then on, for the rest of his life, whenever someone would see him in the marketplace, or someone would see him down by the river or the sea, or someone would see him going along the streets, someone would see him at work, if you will, wherever he went, when we go to the temple to worship, wherever he went, they would see the hole in his ear and know that he belonged to the master. And just like that, wherever we go, whether it's to work, whether it's to school, whether it's down the street, whether it's down to the lake, whether it's hanging out with our family, whether it's going shopping in Lexington or Huntington or wherever we go, people should look at us and people should know that we belong to the master, not by a hole in our ear, but by the holes on the hands and feet of Jesus on a cross 2,000 years ago. You see, it was in that moment that Jesus went all in for you so that you could be all in for him. And you see, it's only when you're all in to God that he is all in you. And I think there may be some people, I know I've been going through this as well. Listen, this isn't just for someone who's never given their life to Jesus before. This is someone who's living for God, living with God for 20 some years. Listen, there may be some areas in your life where if you're being honest, you have not given to God. You have not been all in. Maybe it's a grudge that you've been holding. It's a judgment. It's a bitterness. Maybe honestly, at the end of the day, let's just be real in the time and place that we're in. You're a little racist. Let's just be real. There's just some stuff down on your heart. And there's some hardening that has happened over time. And you need to give that bitterness and that judgment over to God. Maybe for some of you, it's a sin you committed 20 years ago, but you're still holding on to it. Maybe it's a worry. It's not even a sin, it's just a worry. And you need to trust God with it, that He will come through. As it says in Daniel, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, my God is able, He will. But even if He doesn't, He's still good and He's still God. And some of us, we're holding on to something and we need to give it to Him. For some of us, it's the way that we see sports. We think that sports will provide a better future for our kids than godliness will. And it may pay for their college, but it won't pay for their soul. And listen, I love sports. I absolutely love it. I'll be at all the games. So now as we think that work will provide for our family better than God will. So now as we have skeletons in our closet, we have some cobwebs in our closet that we just need to air out and say, God, I haven't given this to you. And I just want you to know it's yours. I'm all in. I'm all in. For some of us, we've never even given our life to Jesus before. And now we hear that there is this man who was also a God. And 2,000 years ago, He went all in for you so that you could go all in for Him. In other words, now you get to bypass hell and live with Him for an eternity. But here on this life, you can experience real peace. I want to talk to my students really quick. I don't listen to Post Malone, but there's this new album that just came out. I'm going to talk to my students really quick, college students. Listen, the whole album is talking about how he can't find peace. He's got all the money he's got all the girls he wants, he's got all the parties he wants, but at the end of the night, he's paranoid, he's worried, he can't find peace. If that does not describe this generation, I don't know what does. It came from Prophet Post Malone. But let me tell you something, God has peace, real peace. When you lay your head down at night, you don't have to be afraid of what they're going to say the next day at school. You don't have to be afraid of the way that you look comparing yourself to somebody else. You don't have to be afraid of whatever is out there. God is with you. And He went all in for you. Are you all in? Are you half in? Are you part in? What area of your life do you need to give to Him? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and come to a close. I believe there's two different types of people in this room. I'll be the first person, you've given your life to Jesus. You've been walking this out. But if you're being honest, at the end of it all, there's still some things that you got to give over to Him. You could be 70 years old, 80 years old, and I forget, there was this lady. I was preaching at a church in somewhere in Pennsylvania. She was in her 80s, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. She came forward to me, tears in her eyes. She said, I want you to know, my husband doesn't know, my kids don't know, but I have been battling with depression and anxiety for years. I have grandchildren. I have great-grandchildren. Nobody knows but the Lord, and today I want to give it all over to Him. Maybe that's you. Maybe nobody knows. But this morning, right where you sit, listen, it doesn't have to make sense to make a difference, but you can say a prayer in faith and God can do a move, a miracle in your soul. And already I believe the Holy Spirit has convicted people and we are lifting things up to Him. I also believe there's the other type of person in this room, you've never given your life to Jesus before, but this morning right where you're sitting, you're tired of wrestling. You're tired of wrestling with sin. You're tired of wrestling with these weights and you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to accept the sacrifice that He has for your soul. And if that's you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. You can pray it out loud or you can pray it silently where you sit. Pray, God, forgive me for my sins. I'm sorry. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe Jesus rose from the grave. And I'm declaring Jesus is Lord. I'm all in. And if that's you and you prayed that prayer this morning, listen, you're in good company. We already saw several people give their life to Jesus last service, but I don't here to embarrass you. I just want to know your name. I want to see you. I want to be able to pray for you. But if that was you and you prayed that prayer of salvation for the first time, would you be so bold? No one's looking around. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. Would you just please raise your hand right now if you prayed that prayer? Would you please raise your hand for me so I can know, so I see you? Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you so much. Listen, will you do a favor for me? After service, I don't care who's with you. I don't care if you're with your family, if you're with GSP, if you got lunch waiting on you, will you please stop by the Red Room after the service? Will you just please stop by the Red Room? We have some team members that they want to pray with you. They want to know your name. And we have a gift we would like to give you that's just going to help jumpstart this new journey with Jesus. Thank you so much for being so bold. Also, whenever you leave today, please go tell somebody. Please go tell somebody about what Jesus has done in your soul this morning. God, we love you and we thank you so much for what you've done. We thank you so much for being able to open up your word and be able to be inspired and challenged and be able to be changed inside of our soul so that we can live it out there. And God, I ask, Lord, this morning that we continue on this journey of just giving it all to God. When we discover something that's not yours, anything in our life, we just give it all over to you. We just give it on all over to him. God, I ask that we continue to practice this throughout this week. Bless us throughout this week and bring us back at your appointed time. So in Jesus' name I ask and I pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.